Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game, the draft, coming up on Thursday. We'll have Nashville's best NFL draft coverage for you Thursday and Friday, and all of our coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, thenewcumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, B&B Flooring, and the Nashville Sheriff. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik at Hermitage Golf Course today. Let's say hello to Zach Lyons of the Football and Other F-Words podcast. His debut on our show. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, Zach.
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? I feel like I'm doing better than Morgan Wallen, who apparently lost his voice at the last minute. My voice is strong, and my voice is ready to go.
I love it.
That was good. Yes, he did. He canceled like in the middle of a show, apparently. But that's not why we had you on. So all this rumor talk, let's start with that, Zach, is I don't buy anything with Derrick Henry because I just don't think the value is going to be there. I know crazy things happen in the NFL, but the Tannehill stuff, I would say where there's smoke, there could be some fire, and this has been going on for a while now. So what are the odds, in your opinion, that come Thursday or maybe Friday, Tannehill has moved to another team?
Oh, man. I think the guy out of those two guys, Tannehill is definitely one to watch, but I really think that Derrick Henry is going to be the one that moves. I am buying the smoke. I believe it. The rumors have been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And to me, it looks like that the Cowboys are really interested from what Peter King, I believe is Peter King had said, or no, it's Trey Wingo had said that. And then I do think that Tannehill could be on the move, but I think he's a harder piece to move because the draft is filled with quarterbacks and people are kind of settled right now. It really comes down to what the Jets and the Packers do.
Okay, so if you're Rand Carthon or you're Mike Vrabel and you are dead set on taking a quarterback, whether it be at 11 or moving up or moving back for Hendon Hooker, what have you, what do you think is going to be the best scenario for the Titans moving forward at that position?
Well, the best scenario is that they have conviction and can go find their guy in this draft, whether that's trading up to 3 or for some reason they luck out and the conspiracy theory holds true. I've bought in on the conspiracy theory by Jared Stillman on Friday that C.J. Stroud is purposely tanking his draft stock. I'm in. I love it.
But don't do that. Don't buy into his conspiracy theories. Come on now. We want people to like you.
I can't help it. I am a sucker for a good conspiracy theory, and I just it was so ridiculous and over the top that I can't help but fall in love with that conspiracy theory. But at the end of the day, the best case scenario for the Titans is that the draft goes Bryce Young, defender, Will Levis, and then around 5 or 6, you're in a better position to go get someone like Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud. And I think that's the most ideal scenario. If you wait to 11, I think that's gambling too much with your future if you have the conviction that one of these guys in the draft is your guy.
Zach Lyons from Football and Other F-Words joined us right now. Zach, you mentioned C.J. Stroud right there, and your Football and Other F-Words Twitter account was actually one of the first that brought it to our attention on Friday from the Bob McGinn report on C.J. Stroud's S2 score. And I know there's been some rumblings on the owners of the S2 test that, you know, those weren't fully accurate. How much do you make of, you know, what the report said and the two anonymous sources as NFL executives, or if this is his score, and how much do you think that that could impact his draft stock?
Yeah. First, we've known on both a football show and Football and Other F-Words, part of the 440 Sports Network, the both the shows that I do, I've alluded to this score. The score that came out was 18. I've known the score for weeks that it was 18. I've known the top four scores in the thing. I didn't feel comfortable putting that out there, but I have alluded to it on those shows leading up to it, so I'm not surprised. Now, the grain of salt take with from the people of that, you know, run the S2 testing makes perfect sense. Kudos to their PR team for trying to make sure that this doesn't get out of hand. But if you notice, he never says that C.J. Stroud scored well, and this came out before the C.J. Stroud reports anyway, but he just left it very general. And if you read between the lines, he just says essentially that the entire class scored really high, and we know that Jaren Hall scored high, Will Levis, all these guys scored high for the most part. It came out that Tyson Bagent scored high. So I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to do damage control, because if this starts tanking prospects' draft stock, they're not going to come take your test. So I totally understand what he's doing. And at the end of the day, it's one piece of a 500-piece puzzle. Now, it's a corner piece now, because it's been proven that it has ties to the passer rating at a higher rate than the college completion percentage. So 28.6% of your passer rating could be attributed to your score in the S2 testing. That comes from them at the S2 school. The other thing is that C.J. Stroud, that was his second time taking it. So he's taken it multiple times. So at the end of the day, should it be the be-all, end-all? No, because if you look at the tape and you look at what he's done in his visits, pro days, and all that kind of stuff, that should matter. But this matters. It just can't be swept under the rugs, especially if you're a fan base like the Tennessee Titans that have pretty much been clamoring for the front office to do analytics. Now the analytics doesn't really say something nice about your guy. You can't just ignore it. You have to take the good with the bad when it comes to analytics.
So when you, Zach Lyons from 440 Sports Network with us right now, Zach, you know, when you look at that 18th percentile, like something just doesn't add up, right? You know, we watch his play on the field. He's clearly the first or second best quarterback in this class. And then you look at that score and it just doesn't add up. It was pretty jarring when it came out on Friday. You know, do you think that people should be alerted because it was that, you know, significantly different from the other scores?
I mean, it's bad, right? So it measures 9 different skills. And just because you score bad in one area or score high in a grade or score low in your overall percentile does not necessarily mean you scored bad or good in every category, right? So it measures perception speed, search mm-hmm. efficiency, tracking capacity, visual learning, and sticky learning, all this stuff. And a lot of this stuff comes at a time when you're being pressured. So you like your improvisation, your impulse control, your distraction control. That stuff comes when you're under pressure. And one of his big knocks is how he performs under pressure by the opposing defense. Now, everybody's going to point to the Georgia game and say, well, look, it didn't really affect him there. If you look at the body of work of what he's done when under pressure in other games over his starting collegiate career, it's not good. The Georgia game would be technically the outlier with how he performs under pressure. Mm-hmm. Now, to get 18%, like everybody's like, well, you know, it's like the ACT. You just put your name on it and you get like 20 points. That's not a grade. It's what he scored. He scored better than basically there's like 17% of quarterbacks that tested scored worse than him. Is essentially okay. What it's saying. So, like, he can score to get that 18% roughly, he could score 32% in one category, 6% mm-hmm. in another, and, you know, there's 9. So, but to get 18%, it's pretty, pretty bad. From a standpoint, you could say that maybe he is a, I consider myself a generally smart guy. I'm great at trivia night. Horrible at standardized tests. And maybe this is that situation, right? Like, maybe this is just I didn't understand the test. The situation wasn't there. I wasn't in a good mood that day when I woke up. Like, can't that be all true and he still be a good performing quarterback? Like, sometimes you're just not in the mood and you're not in the right frame of mind.
What do you think about this wide receiver group core right now the Tennessee Titans have? And do you think that Treylon Burks can be a true number one wide receiver this year?
Oh, man, that's a good question. So if he has to be, right? Now, do I believe – I'm going to say something that's not going to be popular, but I think that his ceiling right now is a wide receiver too. Now, can he be a wide receiver one? Yes, that is the utmost ceiling. But I think his realistic expectation for the Tennessee Titans fan base right now needs to be a little reset, and he's like a wide receiver two, borderline wide receiver one. But he needs to be a wide receiver one, and the Titans, this outside of Kyle Phillips and Treylon Burks, there is nobody in this pass-catching room that needs to be considered in the future plans of this team. So that means they need – in my mind, to walk away with 2 wide receivers, but if they only walk away with 1 wide receiver in this draft, it has to be someone that could play opposite of Burks on the outside. You cannot draft one of these slot-only guys, no matter how good they may be in the slot. That's a poor allocation of resources.
I 100% agree. That's where I was going to go, of that they have to walk away with a receiver. And I was going to say, what if they did the smart thing and they traded out of 11 and they traded back? And, I mean, if they take Hendon Hooker at the end of the first round, I'm okay with that. And then they end up with a receiver at 41. How would you feel about that?
I would feel fine depending on the receiver, right? Like, here's where I'm at. Zay Flowers, Josh Downs, those guys have extremely, extremely great tape, right? But they're projected at the next level with their height, their weight, to be slot-only guys. That's not what you need to walk away with. So if you go Hendon Hooker, and let me say something. I don't know if y'all – the Bob Ginn puts out these reports daily, so he – scouts trashed Jalin Hyatt, and they're saying that nobody's as high on Jalin Hyatt as what the nerd community is and all this stuff. So if Jalin Hyatt or Cedric Tillman are there at 41 and you've drafted Hendon Hooker, I'm not a UT fan. I'm an Alabama fan. I want that on the record. But that would be smart business to have a guy that your quarterback is already comfortable with, kind of like Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, right? It works. So I would be perfectly okay with double dipping in the big orange, even though as long as they don't draft Hendon Hooker at 11. Like, if you trade back and get some picks, I'd be fine because you get the fifth-year option. Wouldn't have high expectations, but I'd feel a little bit better with Cedric Tillman at 41.
Zach, real quick, where can people find your work?
Okay, so stackingtheinbox.com, it's $4 a month, is my daily Titans newsletter Monday through Friday, so that's stackingtheinbox.com. I got an article out today going through about 32 different trade scenarios for four different trade options. I mean, it's filled with data. It's like 2,000 words, almost every article. It's great. A football show and Football and Other F-Words are part of the 440 Sports Network. That can be found. Football Show Today, live, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, live every Monday and Thursday, and then Football and Other F-Words. We kind of go live around Wednesday at some point and put out the podcast after that.
Very, very cool. Give Braden Gall a hug for me, and thanks so much for coming on with us today. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no
absolutely.
Problem.
Zach Lyons, Football and Other F-Words, and you heard it, the 440 Sports Network. Really good, good conversation there, and things that we've been discussing and will be discussing all this week leading up to the draft coming up Thursday night. We'll get back into the Titans in a little bit. But up next, I have a lesson for everybody in this world that you should already know, but I think one person in particular forgot. We'll discuss that coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.